Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? So continuing with our mob madness theme here in March, we've got the one, the only, lead mob, Ashley Smith. And Ashley is just full of passion, full of light, full of love. She talks a lot about her start in Reading, eventually getting into the mob, eventually getting into the lead mob, and a lot of what all that looks like, a little insight to the position, what a mob team is, and a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Ashley Smith podcast. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting in our studio on the phone with Ashley Smith.
Oh my God.
Where have you been my whole life? I haven't seen you in months.
Honestly, I don't know, Shane. I've been a little bit all over. I now live in Idaho, Shane.
Where? But you live there?
Yeah.
Where at?
In Nampa.
Beautiful wine country.
Nampa. Let me tell you, Nampa's wine is world renowned.
World renowned, honestly.
Okay, tell me about Nampa. What are you doing there? Why'd you move there?
It was time to move and find a new area. And initially I thought that it would be Arizona with how much I get put there for work. I was like, Arizona's probably it. Big guy upstairs pulled a quick one on me and said, you're wrong. So where am I going? And I had been in a relationship for a few months with Tanner, who used to be on the mob. And so it was kind of crazy timing. Everything just worked out to move here. And this is like the first area that like I've chosen for me, and everything's worked out, and I've been here now for 2 months.
Crazy.
It's going good. Just happy to be here with you guys. I was thinking about it this morning. I could be in my sweats right now talking to you, and you would never know.
Oh, we're in our sweats.
Yeah, I'm in my sweats currently.
My hair is just messed up, haggard. I got bags under my eyes. Yeah.
I think I made a mistake. I don't know why I put the jeans on today.
I got all ready for the phone. Yeah.
Hair done, makeup, the whole nine. Well, we appreciate the effort.
Anything for you guys.
Aww.
Well, you know, we like to usually kickstart it pretty light. So what was your first drink at Dutch Bros? And what do you currently drink?
My first drink, bear with me here, double paper cup, small white Russian freeze.
Whoa.
My gosh.
Hey now.
I didn't know what went into the freeze at the time, so I just thought it was delightful. Then, looking back now, I would redo some things. But currently, I fancy the small hot Americanos. I like half a scoop of honey.
Okay, cool.
Mine.
I like it. You don't have to do it like the cool kids do. You can throw honey or cream in there or something. It's okay, guys.
Honestly, it's okay. There's too much pressure built up around the small hot black. Kick back. Enjoy that half a scoop of honey. I swear, it's a treat.
Absolutely, yeah. Those bees work hard, man.
Yeah, they do.
Kind of disrespectful that we're just ignoring the honey. You are currently in the lead mob, which is a big part of why we wanted you on for mob madness here in March. But how did it all begin? Where did your Dutch journey start?
Reading, California. Some people would know it by Shredding.
Shredding.
That's where I'm from. Dutch Bros there started in 2004, but it was like starting to become popular and starting to become more common. Like you would see on campus, like people would have Dutch cups versus having Starbucks. Then it became like I was to the age where everybody wanted to work there in high school. All of my friends, like that was like the job. And my best friend actually got hired there. I never thought about working there. And she was about 6 months in and she was like, no, Ashley, like you don't understand. You need to work here. I didn't really get it. I was like, no, Courtney, like her name's Courtney. She's phenomenal.
Oh, wait, is that Zach Garrett's lady?
That is Zach Garrett's lady.
I know Courtney.
Oh, yeah. She's
my best friend. No way. Small world.
That's her.
Yeah. Shout out Courtney and Zach.
Shout out to Courtney and Zach. Honestly, they deserve it.
Yeah.
She was just adamant about it. And I was like, no, it looks like a lot of fun. Like, Courtney, I know like you love it. And I'm like, you're thriving. It looks good on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, seriously. Kevin is working. I don't know if you know Kevin Harper.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he was the regional at the time. And she was like, Kevin's working at the airport tomorrow morning. I told him you're coming, go. So I showed up at the stand and I was like, hey, are you Kevin? We're supposed to meet. And he was like, we're having group interviews tomorrow. Be there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, perfect. Dutch Bros was my first job. And I was like, group interview? I'm like, what's going to happen? What do you mean? I'm like, what? And I walked in and there's like six people hanging out. And then all of a sudden the regionals came in and we all like sat in this like circle near the couch. You wouldn't even think that the interview actually started. It was just this casual like conversation that was happening between eight of us. And then it was like, ended up being like more questions from them. And then I remember like leaving. Courtney was like, how did it go? And I was like, I mean, it was really fun. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a call from Kevin and that's how it all got started. Kevin hired me. And I remember throughout like training, hearing the word family so much, like we like preach that as a company, like it's more than a job. It's more than just your coworkers. Like this is a family. And I remember hearing that and being like, that's a bold statement. I'm like, family. And so I'm like going through training and I'm like kind of like waiting for this other shoe to drop of like this epiphany. And I'm like, I don't know. And I remember getting off my first shift after I had flowed as a trainee. Mm-hmm. There's like this concrete slab in the back of Churn Creek. And the crew that just got off, we sat on the back patio. And next thing I knew, I like looked at my phone and it had been like over 2 hours. We just got lost, like talking to each other and sharing experiences of our life. I remember walking away and being like, okay, Dutch Bros is what they say. It is more than that. Like you want to stay, you want to like sit on that concrete slab and like be with people because they're worth it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Ash, with the theme of March being mob madness, can you give us a little story on how you initially got into the mob?
I sure can. So I had never heard about the mob. I didn't know what the role was. Then one day Aaron texted me, hey girl, we just found out the mob is hiring and we think that you'd be amazing for it. How do you feel about applying? You'd be gone traveling for up to like 5 weeks at a time, introducing new baristas and new hires to what this company is. I was like currently focused on my follow through and organizational like structure as a leader.
Yeah.
And I was like, Aaron, like, do you think that that's going to be something that I can still work on in this role? And I just remember her telling me like, they're going to give you all of the trust in the world and they're going to give you 40 new baristas and they're going to say, show them the Dutch way and like teach them what they need to know and like cultivate it. And they're not going to look over your shoulder, but they're going to expect good things. After hearing that, I remember just being like, okay, I'm in. Like, what do I need to do? So I did the minute like selfie video. Probably one of the most awkward experiences in my life.
What'd you say? Did you put music behind it or anything? Or
luckily, there's this guy, his name's Matt Ray, and he was so kind and he was like, no, Hash, like I love like videography, like I'll help you. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're a blessing. But I never knew that I would hate looking into a camera so much. I was like, look at me in the eyes. Like, I can tell you what I'm passionate about all day long, 10 times over. As soon as I'm looking at that camera, I'm like, that camera doesn't feel my emotion. That camera doesn't know who I am.
You can't believe how many people that affects. Looking into the camera is so unnatural and so awkward. You are not in the minority, I promise.
Oh, thank you for that. I encourage everybody to do it. I mean, it definitely puts you in a uncomfortable spot where you like have to just do it. So I made the minute video. We conquered it. We did it. Mm-hmm. Wrote my paragraph on like why I wanted to be a mobster. Thankfully, HQ wanted an interview. And so I remember there was a guy, Spencer, in the same franchise, and he was also getting ready to interview. And we both just like looked at each other and were like, why don't we just drive to GP? We're both going to interview. Let's go be in person. We don't want to do it over video.
Yeah.
So we went to HQ together and took the road trip and interviewed. When I got back, I think it had been 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then I was working a shift. Do you guys know Christian Gervais?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, good man. So I was covering at 273 with him. And this 541 number popped up on my phone, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Christian, I think this is it. I think this is the call. I'm like, I can't answer it. I'm on shift. And he's like, yeah, we'll just call him back. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I wait till after shift, and I listen to this voicemail, and it's like, hey, Ash, it's Lance, Ian, Foz, Josh, Chris. He's like naming off all these people. It's all of us here. No rush. Go ahead and give us a call back when you can. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, perfect. So I called him back, and I'm like, is this just like Lance? Are all eight of them about to tell me that, like, we're so sorry, this isn't the right time?
It's just one by one why they're sorry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Perfect. So then Lance answers, and he gives me the whole, hey, Ash, we just wanted to reach out and, like, tell you how grateful we were to have any time with you at all and just to meet you. And, you know, as you know, we had quite a few applicants. It's really tough putting people in these positions. Unfortunately, you know, we wanted to ask you, like, do you want to be a mobster? And I was like,
gosh, dang it, Lance.
I, like, don't know Lance at all. I'm like, looking back, I'm like, Lance just wanted to play.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my goodness, my heart. I'm all, do I say yes now? I'm like, am I, like, slightly upset at you for playing with me? I don't know. Long story short, I said yes, and that was the start of it.
Awesome.
Breaking news from Dutch Bros Coffee.
Hey guys, if you haven't heard yet, we're doing something pretty fun and exciting here on St. Paddy's Day, March 17th, starting at 5 a.m. With a purchase of any Rebel, you get a free limited edition Rebel pin. Super bitchin' graphic. Get it while supplies last. They're going to be flying off the shelves. So again, mark your calendar. March 17th, starting at 5. Be ready to sling some Rebel, folks. Back to the podcast.
What was the first mission like as a brand new mobster?
There's two that come to mind. The very first one was Fresno.
And I haven't heard that before.
That one was my very first trip, and there were six of us that went out there for 5-6 days. The only thing I really remember about that trip is there were two of them that were, like, experienced mobsters, and then the rest of us were new. So I remember all of us just being like, we wanted to, like, do so well, and we didn't know really what it looked like, and we're all just experiencing this together. And it truly came down to the littlest things that you would do to serve, to be helping with stock, if it was to be, like, unwrapping all of the syrup bottles, anything and everything. And so it was so fun because, like, on that trip, it was discovering, like, okay, well, what's, like, the first way that we serve? Because I didn't know. Truly the first mob mission that I really knew what we did and, like, what we could do was actually my first 5-week trip to Prescott Valley, Arizona. Throughout that 5 weeks, I truly got to, like, discover all the ways that we got to be there for a brand new crew and all the ways that we got to support a franchisee / like, operator, what the role could really do. And like, that was it. I remember walking around on grand opening day at that opening, and I was like, I could do this for years.
Well, yeah, and that's a pretty big contrast, because I imagine initially going to Fresno, Pinky's been established for a while. He's a legacy franchisee.
Yeah.
He probably didn't need to lean on you as much as, say, you know, Jasmine, who is a brand new co-operator, is like, whoa, okay, I don't know quite what to expect yet with an opening. So, yeah, I'm sure there was a lot more need on that trip. I'm just assuming.
Oh, yeah. You're so right. And, like, that's the best part about serving both sides, is, like, with the legacies, there's such a desire for our team to, like, find any way to support them, because they do have it. They are amazing at what they do. That's why they do it. And to be able to witness it is amazing, but also to try to, like, rack your brain to find the littlest thing that you're like, okay, I could do this. It may not even be noticed, but, like, genuinely, I feel like it could help.
Sure. Yeah.
And legacies do have it, and they're amazing, and we're learning from them all the time, but it's the best to try to surprise them.
I'm sure there's little tricks that you guys pick up along the way that maybe they never even thought about.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
So, Ash, for all the aspiring future mobsters out there, what is something that most people don't really know about the mob?
I think that something that most people don't get to see is that the mob isn't just, like, one type of brand.
Mm-hmm.
it isn't one type of barista. It isn't one type of leader. It's truly about being the most yourself, because the mob needs all types of leaders.
Yeah.
We need the truly gifted, intentional people that, like, that's their sweet spot. And we do need the high energetic, magnetic leaders. We need all of them to, like, be able to make up the best team that we can. And I think that something that gets missed is, just the same as for a new hire barista, you almost look at Dutch Bros and you're like, I don't know that that's me. I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that that's my thing. It's a lie, because it's you.
Yeah,
you're hired for exactly who you are, and we want you for exactly who you are. And that's what makes us a better team, is when we can all genuinely be individuals and be who we are to make up the strongest team we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
Different personality types don't necessarily resonate with everyone. It's great to have a wide variety. Maybe the slightly more soft-spoken, delicate approach is how you break through to one of the new baristas or someone on the crew, just as like the super hyped up, overly enthusiastic, energetic person can break through to a lot of other people.
Yeah, yep.
I think that is cool. Like, squash that lie that you don't think you could be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now, obviously the mob has grown a lot, fairly big by the time you got on. So what were some things that you did that maybe helped set you apart and had people recognizing you as someone that should take on your current role as a lead mob now?
Do you guys know what the love languages are?
I do, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys familiar with the one that's called words of affirmation?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm not the best at it, even though I talk for a living.
It'll get you.
Yeah.
So it turns out words of affirmation are high up on my love language test. It's so funny, because as much as you can love words, it's difficult to speak them about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about this, I'm thinking about the words of affirmation that, like, I've been given.
Yeah.
And most, like, often, like, I look to my, like, teammates and the crews that I've been to and the operators and the franchisees, taking what they say and knowing that, like, when they, like, speak on something positive, it must be a strength.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things I hear most often is just the ability to, like, be adaptable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the passion that I carry, I think, is something that people call out most often to me. The truth that I'm able to share with people and the love that I'm able to give to them. I think that all of those things change and grow so often. But those are, like, the constants. Is my passion for what I do is ever changing and ever growing, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and the conversations I'm able to have with them, and then the love that they get to, like, experience. I think those were the reasons that they craved me in that lead role.
Totally.
Passion is pretty infectious. People can get behind a passionate person a lot easier. And also the ability to adapt. That's a big one, you know.
Yeah.
Life never seems to go fully according to plan. So if you have trouble adapting, it's like, ooh, you're going to have a tough life, I would say.
Well, especially within a company, that change and growth is something that we stand behind as a company so much. And so with that change, like, adaptability is huge, because something can be going really well or can be improved and things need to change. And so it's not always easy to change.
So you were mobbing for a little bit. Now that you're lead mob, where was your first trip as lead mob, and what are some of your takeaways from it that you didn't expect to happen?
My first trip as a lead is kind of funny, because somehow all of us leads ended up at HQ before my trip. The trip was Indian school in Arizona for Jim. Clayton, Kate, Jake, Hunter, we were all at HQ. They had basically been like, Ashley, like, can you lead this trip? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then everybody looked at me and they're like, well, why don't we all go? Can we be on Ashley's trip? Perfect. I'm all, honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way.
No pressure. They're all watching you.
It was actually one of the biggest blessings, because not only did I, like, have them, but I had a, like, mob team as well.
Yeah.
And so all the leads just went for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the coolest thing, because when we got there, the whole lead team is looking at me and they're like, Ash, like, where can we help you? Where can we be used?
Mm-hmm.
And so to have teammates that are so on your team. Like, those guys hadn't even seen anything that I had, like, led or anything that I'd done, and they were already willing to be on my team. They were already willing to say, like, Ash, where can you use us? And, like, how can we serve you to serve them? Mm-hmm. So one of my biggest takeaways was how important it is to give faith to people who are in new roles and to give trust to them to be able to take action and to be able to, like, grow into that spot, because there's nothing more powerful than people that are on the same level as you saying, like, hey, we trust you. What do you think? And what are we doing? What's the play?
Yeah. So I hit up Teal, you know, Mama Squirrel. Couple things maybe I should ask Ashley regarding the lead mob or the mob. And she said, well, ask her about a mob team and what that is. And I didn't know what it was. So what exactly is a mob team?
Great question. So we are still one whole team, but with the growth that we've been experiencing, and especially at the growth rate of, like, the company, we've recently, like, hit a number that we have never hit before as far as mobsters.
Yeah.
And so we're almost at 90 mobsters right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. With 7 leads, we want to be able to serve them the best that we can.
Yeah.
Each lead have a specific team underneath us that we get to work with. It's like having a home stand in a franchise when you have different shops and you have a specific manager and the team.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that concept. It just provides us an opportunity to be super intentional with their time, because who's to say how often they are on the road with different leads. And so when they're working with consistent leads, we can actually provide them quality feedback and, like, stay with them throughout their growth.
Yeah.
Versus building traction and building growth, and then they go with another lead who may not know where they've been and where they've been, like, challenging themselves. And so it's a little bit messier to stay consistent with that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With the mob, it's one of the craziest positions in Dutch Bros. What has been some of the most challenging things that you've faced during your time in there?
I think that the most challenging thing was actually when I was on the road for a couple months, and I was in Gresham. I remember hitting this point where I had never craved travel in my life. There are people that have that desire naturally, and that's amazing. I've never craved that. I've never craved, like, oh, I can't wait to go see the entire world, or not that those things don't sound amazing, but I've never craved it.
Yeah.
And so then I found myself in this spot where I'm constantly being moved from area to area. And I remember just praying about it and being like, mm-hmm. Lord, why do you have me moving and moving and moving when you know that I crave roots and I want a home and I want consistency? Mm. And I was like, why? I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
This isn't getting me to, like, those roots.
Yeah.
It was this challenge that, like, turned into this massive lesson of I was looking at it the wrong way. I was looking at it as if I was being moved without intention, and I was being placed in these areas for a reason. And I had to realize that my roots weren't in a building, in a home. Like, the home and the roots, that's me. That's me and my spiritual relationship. And so the best part about it is that everywhere I move, that's where I'm creating even more roots. And, like, I get to help build community. I get to help build a sense of home. And that always stays there. Like, it will forever be an area that is called home because I have lived there. I've lived life. I've experienced it with these people in this community. And so it's not like it's being ripped away and I never have roots. It's just that they're growing and that I have to realize that they're in me. It's not the idea of one place. It's a mindset of home.
Yeah, totally. So when you were going through those internal battles, was that something that you just powered through, or were there people that you were kind of leaning on and getting vulnerable with and sharing your heart?
I've always struggled with vulnerability. I've always thought, like, oh yeah, sharing what happened. And so, like, I have this funny habit of, like, sharing what I went through after I went through it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, this beautiful story, but it's like, I was missing the point that vulnerability is, like, when there isn't an answer, and it's just, it is what it is. Mm. And I got to learn that through trusting my, like, teammates, the ones that I got really vulnerable with, was Mo.
Oh, yeah. And Kate.
Oh, yeah.
Friends of the podcast.
They provided me a platform to be like, Ash, like, you don't have to have it together. It can just be not okay. And that's something that, like, Tanner does for me as well, is like, it's okay calling something not okay. It's okay saying something's like crap if it's crap, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So my teammates and like Tanner, those have been people for me that like I've been able to confide in, and just even saying it out loud helps.
Yeah.
Helps a ton.
Well, it sounds like you're able to get through that and kind of find the beauty in what planting roots really is. You were mentioning to us earlier, you are now in Nampa. You were in Redding for a long time, but for a little while in between there, you were in Napa, California.
Yes.
Wine country.
Good, the real wine country, yeah. Although, I gotta say, Southern Oregon, I think we're beating them now.
Yeah,
I
mean,
we got some good wine down
there. Oh, absolutely.
Some killer vineyards. I'll do the Pepsi challenge with Napa all day. anyway, sorry. What drew you to Napa? What was the decision based around that move?
I had actually been disconnected from my mom probably since about seventh grade. I basically didn't have a relationship with her, and it worked out where I was able to move there and like commit to like healing my relationship with her and move in with her. And that's just a wild like thing, like being 21, living on your own or living like without your parents and then moving in with your parents. Someone that hasn't necessarily had the parenting like role, allowing them to have that, was a super humbling experience. And I mean, like, I learned a lot like through it, and I'm forever grateful for my time there. And so I got just the chance to like have my mom. There's no words to express how grateful I am that like that relationship got to be healed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a great reason to move somewhere.
Yeah.
What's next for Ashley Noelle Smith?
Whoa. Dang, you're using the full name here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like to throw in the middle because I've got one of those very common names. I don't know if you've ever searched Ashley Smith on Facebook, but there's quite a few of us out there.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So the Noelle helps. But right now, the most important thing that's next is sustainability for the lead role before thinking about any like next role or any next step in my personal career. It's been amazing to focus with the lead team. We are all working on how to make systems sustainable, how to record like what we're doing. And especially because, you know, we all do it so different, but the standard having to be the same. And so that like unification there.
Yeah.
And then like making the role easy to pass off. Somebody steps into this role and they understand what each of us leads have contributed to it up until this point, but they know that it's theirs to change and it's theirs to improve. Making sure that we have enough documentation and enough systems in place that like it's easy for them to step in and be excited about like not only what it is, but where it can go.
You can set them up for success, at least in the short term.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great mission that you guys are doing right there.
That's what's next.
Because we're only going to need more of you.
Wow. I feel flattered. I think I'm blushing. Can you see it?
I feel it. I feel it in the air.
Yeah, it's funny because we can't see each other.
The wonders of technology. Ash, we always like to wrap this up kind of the same way. If you could give one piece of advice to our audience, what would it be?
Whatever you're doing right now or whatever role you're in, it's what you choose it to be. And I think that the piece of advice would be understand that your influence is not defined by your role. And so what you're doing right now matters. The words you speak, the actions you're taking, everything matters. And so no matter what goal you have, no matter what desires you have, I advise you to take a look at what you're doing right now and take a look at your influence and take a look at how you love people, because there's no role that you have to wait for to love people better. Mm-hmm. And so start now and look at the ways that you truly can support your teammates better. You can love them better. How can you be more on their team? Because at the end of the day, no matter what role you're in, that's the goal, is to be on people's teams and to be able to see each other win towards a bigger goal and towards our vision.
There it is.
There she is.
Hey, thank you so much, Ashley. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate you guys out there in the lead mob and mob just helping get these new stands running and keeping this growth trajectory just on point. It takes a village, and you guys are a huge part of it. So thank you for giving us a little insight as to what it all looks like and some inspiration as well.
Hey, thanks for asking.
All right. Well, you have a good one out there in Nampa.
Nampa.
Don't forget the M.
Don't forget the M. It'll get you. Hey, thank you guys for your time.
All right, folks. Well, there it is. That's going to do it. Thank you so much, Ashley. I love those words. What you do now does matter. And you don't have to wait for the promotion or the title to make an impact right where you sit, because you are you and you're uniquely you. And that's awesome. You don't have to be the carbon copy of somebody else. And Ashley is just another great reminder of that. Because what a personality, honestly. And a friendly reminder again, March 17th, St. Paddy's Day, we got that Rebel pin promo happening. Gonna be awesome. Get ready to sell a lot of Rebel. Get ready to get that pin. And tune in next week while we continue our mob madness with former mobster and current regional manager, my good friend, Mr. Zach Garrett. Excited to have him on. Gonna be fun to share his story. Great guy. The man was in my wedding. I mean, I love him. So I'm biased, but I think you're gonna like it. So until next time, take it easy, Dutch Nation.